Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
In the end, this is what we realize, that had not the Spirit of God moved upon that wasted, desolate, dark heart of mine, I would have continued in the direction that I was going. But you see, God did it. He stepped in, just as was the case here. He stepped in and he spoke into this mass of matter.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Genesis. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Genesis, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, in a message titled, God and Regeneration. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
We're in spiritual darkness, moral darkness. Darkness is in us. But then God steps into the picture, and he begins to do something. He begins to move upon us, kind of like the picture that's given here. The picture in the Hebrew is like a mother bird hovering over the nest. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to brood over us, to hover over us, and things start to happen in our lives. Many of you remember, vividly you can remember, how things began to change. Your life was purposeless. You were empty. You were in darkness spiritually and morally. Darkness was in you. But then something started to happen. You began to get what the Bible calls convicted. You remember that? You began to get convicted. You suddenly started feeling guilty over things that you normally would not have felt guilty over. Things that you might have been doing for years and never even thinking twice about it. Suddenly one day you get up and you think, wait, that didn't feel right. What was that? That's where the work of the Holy Spirit begins to manifest in our lives. We're just going on our merry way. We're in the darkness. We're blind. We can't see truth. We can't see that God's real or that his commandments are relevant or anything like that. And all of a sudden, one day, it's just we're agitated. That something doesn't feel right. Oh, I remember going through this so vividly. And the thing that really stands out to me in my memory is how I began to go through this, and it really didn't seem like anybody else around me could identify at all with what was happening. And as a matter of fact, when I would say to them, hey, I don't know, you know, I don't feel that good about that. They'd look at me like, what? What do you mean you don't feel that good about that? That we do this every weekend. I know. I don't know. I just don't feel that good about it anymore. It's, yeah, you're weird. What's going on with you? I don't know what's going on with me at the time. But that's what was happening. It's called conviction. And the Lord just begins to bring that to bear upon our hearts, that what you're doing is wrong. It's a beautiful thing, really, when the Holy Spirit does this. And, you know, people can tell you forever that you're wrong about something, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. You know, when I was young and people tell me I was wrong, I just look at them and say, what do you know? I don't care what you think. That's why I think to a large degree it's vain for us to think that we're going to, you know, preach morality at the world and they're going to pay any attention, turn around and say, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad you told me that. You know? Just look at us like, you guys are idiots. We're having a great time. What are you talking about? But you see, when the Spirit of God comes with convicting power, it's a whole other story. And so there's that conviction that manifests itself in guilt. But there's also different ways that the Lord manifests as he's sort of hovering over us. Sometimes it's a frustration. And what the Lord begins to do is he begins to sort of intrude into your life and he starts to mess things up. He starts to spoil your plans. And everything that you had laid out so perfectly, it just seems to keep getting messed up. And you think, what's going on here? And you've got this plan, and you're going to go here, and you're going to do this, and you've got it all mapped out. And yet, something keeps happening where everything's getting spoiled. It's not going the way you planned it to go. And here's the thing. Previously, it always went in that direction. But now something different's happening. And so you've got this frustration that's building inside of you. You've got this agitation. That's a good way, I think, to understand the work of the Spirit. God just starts, he starts bugging you. You know, he starts messing with your life. And all of your little plans, they just start falling apart. And there's not a good human explanation for it. It seems like, what? Everything's pretty much the same outwardly. Why is all this going wrong? God's doing something, you see. He's getting you to think. He's wanting to get your attention. And then there's sometimes just a realization that comes upon us, and we begin to see the futility of it all, and the things that you were so committed to and investing your life in. You start to look at it and you start to question, why am I doing this? What is all worth anyway? In the end, what is it all going to mean? I'm not going to take it with me when I go. You start thinking about morbid things like, I'm going to die someday and stuff like that. These are the things that the Spirit of God begins to do. Just as the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters, and there was that darkness upon the face of the deep there, the Spirit of God comes, and he begins to do these things in our life. And then we read these glorious words, and God said, "Let there be light." And you know how it is sometimes, man. It's like a flash of light. It's like a bolt of lightning. All of a sudden, it hits you, and all of a sudden, everything makes sense. Maybe you've heard it all your life. Maybe people have been telling you about the Lord since the time you were a little kid. Your Sunday school teacher, your parents, friends, family, people at work, but you listen to it, okay, that's all right, but it just doesn't click. But then in a flash, it all comes back, and suddenly it all makes sense. That's that work of the Spirit of God. God brings us to that place, and then he just speaks truth so powerfully into our lives. You suddenly see everything so clearly that you couldn't see at all before. And this is the way that things happen so often to people. It's literally like somebody just comes and just, as we read here, let there be light. It's like somebody comes and just switches on the light. And all of a sudden you get it. And again, I can relate to that. Because I had, first of all, nothing. And then the frustration and the agitation and all of that began to come. But still, everything was really fuzzy. And I had my ideas about God, but they were fuzzy. They were confusing. I read the Bible, and things I read in there I liked. I thought, wow, that's good, and that sounds right. And much of it, I didn't really understand what I was reading. But then there just came this day when I suddenly knew. It all just became clear. In my own personal situation, I was trying to be a Christian in my own strength. I thought being a Christian was just basically being a better person and tacking Jesus onto that somewhere. And I was trying quite hard, actually, for a while to do that. And it just never worked. I would get one area that I, was concentrating on. I'd kind of get that under control. And it seemed like the moment I get that under control, something else would break out. And it was this endless kind of a thing that was going on. But in a flash, in an instant, I understood what I never was able to understand before. I understood I need to be born again. That was the missing component, the missing ingredient. I was going to church. I was doing penance, but I was getting nowhere. And I would, you know, go so far down that road, and then I would trip and stumble and roll right back where I had started. Because in the end, in my spiritual confusion, I was trying to make myself a Christian by being a good person. And one day it just hit me like a bolt of lightning out of heaven. You must be born again. And in an instant, I understood that that was the problem. No person led me to Christ. The Lord just hit me with a bolt one day. You need to be born again. And suddenly I was like, I need to be born again. That's it. That's the missing ingredient. And right that second, I bowed my head and said, Lord, I want to be born again. And I was. But the lights come on. And then suddenly you know that you need the Lord. And you throw your hands up and surrender. You bow your knee in humble submission. You receive Christ. And then what happens? Well, as we read on, God divided the light from the darkness. Here's where it gets really exciting. Because God comes into our lives. At this point, he's opened our eyes. He begins to move upon us, and he begins to agitate us and to convict us and those things. And then he turns the light on. But then he comes into our lives, and we begin to experience this work of the Spirit within us, this dividing the light from the darkness. It begins with what we call regeneration. The moment I respond to that realization that I need Christ, the moment I respond in faith, that moment a miracle takes place and I am born again, and regeneration is the theological term that describes that. And what that is that God puts his Spirit in me. God puts his Spirit in me. That's what happens to a person when they trust Christ for salvation, truly. God comes and he puts his Spirit in us. That is a radical thing. And that, of course, is going to result in some radical alteration of a person's life. Years ago, I had a couple of friends. They were bad guys. And they got saved. And there was such a transformation in their life. And a mutual friend, I was in conversation with him one day. And I had been witnessing to this guy a lot, and he wasn't responding. But one day he said, hey, I ran into these two guys. He said, man, what happened to them? And I said, they've met the living God. And his response was classic. He goes, evidently. That was a classic response. But from his perspective, something so radical had happened in these guys' life that this was a good explanation. They met God. Yep, okay, I can understand that. That's what it looks like happened. And that's what happens to us. We're regenerated. God puts his Spirit in me. So there's regeneration, God dividing the light from the darkness. Begins with regeneration, but then there's what you might call purification that begins to take place. And where regeneration is God putting his Spirit in me, purification is God beginning a process of taking the darkness out of me. God purifies us. He does that through the work of his Holy Spirit. He does it to a very large degree through the ministry of his word. Like Jesus said, you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. And like Paul alluded to, the washing of water by the word. So God starts to purify us through his word, he starts to take the darkness out of us. Oh, it's so important, as we have emphasized so many times. It's so important to be in the word, because that's the agency through which God does the cleansing. That's how the purification takes place. But you see, this is all a work of the Spirit. God is applying his word to our lives, and he's washing us. He's cleansing us. As David said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. So there is purification, God taking the darkness out of us. But then there is sanctification. And sanctification, I think, could be explained, God taking us out of the darkness. God is taking us out of the darkness. He is separating us from things. He's moving us out of places that we've been. He's taking and changing our hearts from the inside. And so one of the ways that he's sanctifying us, one of the ways that he's taking us out of the darkness, is he's changing our desires. I don't want to go in the darkness. I don't want to be in the darkness. I don't want to go to those places anymore. I don't want to be with those people any longer. I want to be where the Lord's people are. I want to be where the Lord's presence is. I want to be at that place where God is at work. Now, what we're describing here, really, as I said initially, is that process that takes place in bringing us to salvation. Now, in one sense, salvation isn't a process, but in another sense, it is. It's not a process in the sense that I accept Jesus and then, you know, through a process of time and development and growth and everything else, then I'm going to get more saved and finally be saved enough to get to heaven. That's not the way it works. I receive Christ, and in one sense, I'm as saved as I'm ever going to be, because I've got the righteousness of Christ imputed to my account, and you can't improve on the righteousness of Jesus, and you're going to heaven. But in another sense, there is a process, and it's like this one that we've been looking at here tonight. It's a process that begins way back here, but it culminates in this moment of receiving Christ. And then the regeneration happens simultaneously. The purification follows afterward. The sanctification follows afterward. But regeneration, which is what we're talking about, becoming born again, like creation, is a sovereign work of God. And that's the thing that I want to really impress on you as we finish up tonight. You see, we often make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, I was on a quest for God, and I found him. Well, I'm a Christian because I went searching for the Lord, and I found him. And from a certain point of view, it does seem that way, doesn't it? It seems like, maybe as you look back over your life, it seems like, well, I was a seeker. I was on a quest. You know, I was looking for something more. I was trying to understand the real meaning of life. But you see, the reality is this. The reality is there is none who seeks after God, no, not one. And as Jesus said to his apostles, he said, you did not choose me, I chose you. And you see, in the end, this is what we realize. That had not the Spirit of God moved upon that wasted, desolate, dark heart of mine, I would have continued in the direction that I was going. But you see, God did it. He stepped in, just as was the case here. He stepped in and he spoke into this mass of matter that was without form and void, and he began this process that would ultimately result in the universe that we live in. But that's what he did for us spiritually as well. And the only part, really, that we play in this is simply believing and receiving. That's our part. God comes and he does all of this. He awakens us. He speaks. The lights come on. And all we do is we believe and we receive. We respond by believing and receiving. But when we understand the nature of salvation, that we're saved primarily because of something the Lord has done, we have a very small role, and our role is, again, it's just simply believing and receiving Christ. But when we think of it in those terms, for me, it really provokes praise. It really provokes me to worship and to just stand in awe of the Lord and to think that, Lord, there I was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I was lost, and you came, and you began to hover over me by your Spirit. You began to convict me. You began to unsettle me. And then you opened my eyes and my heart to understand your truth. And I don't know, for me, it just makes me so thankful that God did that. And of course, the other component, the reason God was able to do all of that is because of the cross, because of what Jesus did. And these things are intended to fill our hearts with praise. Aren't you thankful for what the Lord has done? How he just called you out of that darkness. You know, sometimes I find it necessary to go back and remember where I was before I met the Lord. You know, sometimes after you've been with the Lord for a long time, you kind of forget a lot of that stuff, you know. And in a sense, that's good. You want to forget it. But you know, in another sense, it's healthy sometimes to just sit down and look back and think about all that God did and where he brought you from. And it just will cause us to bow our heads and worship and just say, thank you, Jesus.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So, Brian, we're highlighting the book by Sam Alberry, Is God Anti-Gay? The subtitle I find intriguing, and other questions about homosexuality, the Bible, and same-sex attraction. Why would this book be good for our readers to pick up?
Well, of course, this is a huge issue in the culture, and people are perplexed about, you know, how do we navigate this? And Sam does a tremendous job navigating it. You know, a lot of people, and even people, you know, who struggle maybe with same-sex attraction, or, of course, people in the gay community, they have this mistaken notion that God is against them. And so Sam Alberry wrote this fantastic little book. He has experience as a same-sex attracted believer, but he's fully committed to living for Christ. Sam is a pastor. He's part of the ministry team for Ravi Zacharias Ministries, and he just has a great, great voice on this topic. I highly recommend anything Sam's written, but this is a good place to start.
And I think, too, especially living in the times that we are and the culture we are, this is a great book to equip any believer
yep.
to be able to share their faith yep. and to talk with intelligence and love and grace
yep.
on a very hot topic.
Yep, it's excellent.
And that would be Sam Alberry, Is God Anti-Gay?
Again, this month's resource is a book titled, Is God Anti-Gay? And Other Questions About Homosexuality and Same-Sex Attraction by Sam Alberry. You can order the book, Is God Anti-Gay? By going to our
website, brianbroderson.uk.
When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Is God Anti-Gay? By Sam Albury, to help you develop a biblical perspective on same-sex attraction. It's our way to say thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Genesis. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.